InvestTalk is brought to you today by Health IQ. People who work out and eat healthy shouldn't have to pay as much for life insurance. That's the whole idea behind Health IQ. If you're a Health IQ customer, you could save up to 33% on your life insurance premium. How do you find out more about it? To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/invest or mention the promo code INVEST when you talk to a Health IQ agent. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Welcome to Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. We try to bring you useful information and answer any questions you might have, as long as they're financial. Now, do you want some perspective on the financial services industry? I'm happy to share some thoughts with you. Let's get to work answering questions. That's what we do here. Our 24-hour listening line is always open, 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came before today's program.
Hi, this is Matthew calling in from Seattle with a question about how to take advantage of dips in the stock market. My question is really about how do I build up a reserve to take advantage of when a stock price drops while minimizing the opportunity costs of not putting the money to work in something like another stock or other investment products. Look forward to your answer on the podcast. Thanks.
Well, first of all, let me say it's extremely difficult to time the market. It's not something that anybody should try. Okay, you can try it, and then once you fail at it, then you'll know how difficult it is. But what you can do is that you can wait for pullbacks in the market. Now, what's a pullback? 10%? 10% is a normal correction in the market. We hadn't seen one of those not one time last year. Not one time. And we saw one in for just 1 week this year, and that was the first week of February? And it was 10%. So on that kind of pullback, anytime you get a pullback, you buy a couple of stocks. You buy something. Now, you can look at different stocks in different sectors, and you still can buy even when you don't get the pullback. You can find good value stocks at good prices. We talked about several yesterday. So it doesn't mean that you can't find good prices for stocks even when the market, you know, hasn't pulled back. It just makes it much more difficult. And, you know, if you're patient, you just wait for a decent pullback. And I think we're going to get more. I think we'll get at least a couple more this year. I think at the very minimum, one more, and I think two more. The market's going to be pretty volatile this year. As you can see, you saw the volatility today. I mean, have you noticed how all the huge moves up and down? So it's going to continue, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk? I have several topics I want to talk about. One is jobs report that was out this morning. Big numbers. So we want to just go over them if we can. I want to talk about the Bank of Japan. We know what the ECB said, right? The European Central Bank, they did nothing. They changed a little wording when they had their meeting. Well, what did you think the Bank of Japan met? What do you think they said? We'll go over that. And let's see, new way to combat fraud, credit card fraud. Have you heard about this? Put out by Capital One. It's a very interesting concept, and I wanted to share it with you, called virtual numbers. So that's what we're talking about. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Bill in the Castro Valley. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
My question was about earnings. Okay, they say they're going to make 18 cents, and they make it 19 and a half. They beat the street by a penny and a half. Is this actually a valid one, or is this maybe analysts and brokerage pumping the stock by underestimating the street.
Well, that is a bone of contention with a lot of people, including myself. When they say they beat earnings by a penny or two pennies or even a nickel, I don't really care. Did they do that because they manipulated depreciation and they manipulated, they brought forward some sales that were should be put into the next quarter instead of this quarter by, again, the accounts receivable? And, Bill, that is always very difficult for you to determine. That's why you want to look at consistently earnings beating the expectations quarter over quarter and year over year. If they're able to do it all consistently, then, because you can only lie so much, Bill. For instance, if you borrow next quarter's earnings, so this quarter you beat by a penny a share, that means next quarter you got to actually do a lot more business to make up for that. And did they do it next quarter and the quarter after that? And all this is very difficult for you, the layperson, to figure this out, Bill. It's very difficult. But you have to look at the quality and quantity of earnings together. I always like to look at how they are booking their profits. For instance, Apple Computer. You know, they're selling tons of those iPhones, right? Well, they're recognizing their earnings of the iPhone over the length of the contract of AT&T, the two-year contract. They actually get the money now, but they don't recognize the earning. They spread it out over 24 months. Every month, they recognize a 1/24th of the sale of that iPhone, even though they got the money right away. That's very conservative, and that's very good for you and I, the shareholder. Other companies will recognize that all right up front. They recognize the earnings when they sold the phone to the retailer, and they really didn't get the earnings. And those phones might be coming back to them. You know, maybe they didn't get sold. See, so there's very different ways, and that's very difficult to figure out, Bill. You just got to know how they do it. So earnings are very important, how they cheat and steal. And I don't mean to say that all corporations cheat and steal. I don't. But how they fudge the numbers or not. Many companies don't. They're strictly straight up and down. Many companies, GE fights their numbers for years and years and years. We've even said it on the radio. How can they always beat their earnings by a penny a share? How can that? Every quarter, 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 penny a share, beat their earnings. Well, that means they're manipulating them all. Don't like that. Bill, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Thanks. I appreciate it. This is the Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. And here's the fact that it's a pretty convincing argument for investing. In 20 years, an original $10,000 investment would be worth about $32,000 right now. Of course, we were in a secular bull market that whole time. What do you want to talk about? That was about a 6% return over the whole time. Annual. Compounded. Tells you how powerful compounding is. We're always open to your beginner questions. 888-99-CHARGE. How to get through right now.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, we're going to go talk to Mark in San Diego. How you doing, Mark?
All right. Hello, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I have an insurance and inflation question for you.
Okay.
So I have a long-term care insurance with the company for 10 years, and the insurance includes a 3.2% inflation rider. Well, they say that because of increased costs, they must either charge me $400 more per year to maintain the inflation rider at 3.2%, or I could continue to pay what I'm currently paying, and they'll reduce it to 2.3%. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about long-term care inflation.
Well, actually, health costs rise faster than that, than even your high number. Long-term inflation is like 3.3% for the United States, but we haven't seen that in 10 years, okay? Not regular inflation. Now, this year, we might get 2 to 2.5% this year. I have a feeling, I don't think inflation is going to run away. I don't think. So, Mark, I might not pay the $440 and just take the lower inflation rider. That's what I think I would do. It's 2 point what was it, the lower one? 2 point what?
2.3%.
Yeah, versus 3.1, right?
3.2.
Yeah, I think I just take the 2.3%, whatever that one. I would just let it and not pay the extra 400 and something bucks a year. Okay?
All right. Appreciate the idea.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go talk to Joe in Fremont. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine, Steve.
Thanks for calling.
I just received a letter from my mutual fund saying that they want to convert to a closed-end fund, and I was wondering what you thought about that.
Actually, that's not a bad thing. So what they're doing is they want to limit the number of shares they're issuing out there. They want to limit. They don't want to have unlimited. Now, what's going to happen when they do that, Joe, is that your mutual fund, instead of selling at the net asset value of the exact value of the holdings that's inside the fund, now can sell at a premium or a discount to that net asset value.
Generally, don't they sell at a discount?
Not necessarily. Right now, many of them are, yes, right now. But in bull phases, they sell at a premium. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's probably on balance more of a good thing because they're trying to limit the number of shares. One of the reasons they do that is they're gathering too much money to stay with what they're trying to do. So trying to limit the inflow of money. And that means that the manager of that fund is saying, you know what? I'm having trouble. Every day I get another $1 billion or $100 million, and I can't invest that much money that fast. You have to figure out why he's doing it, but that is probably the best answer that you could get and probably the right answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's not bad. Joe, thanks. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Jim in Claremont. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you making it.
How do you pick a sector that's going to be performing well for the next month or 2 months?
Okay, fair enough, and a good question, a very good question. Trying to figure out what sectors are moving in relationship to each other is something that we do constant work on. It is something that is very difficult but doable. There are certain websites. CBS MarketWatch, one of our partners, has a sector analysis area. They have charts, and they show you the sectors. You can see the sectors intertwine with each other on a chart, which ones are moving up through the other sectors. It's pretty obvious, and that's how you have to do. You have to go to Yahoo Finance or CBS MarketWatch or one of those other CNN Money and find the sector analysis in there and figure out what sectors are moving up. Also, the Investor's Business Daily newspaper once a week has a sector analysis. And it talks about sectors and which ones are moving up and which ones are the highest rated. And you can find it. It's out there. It just takes a little bit of work.
But that's all past performance, right? That's not necessarily what's going on in the future.
Well, nothing will tell you what's going to happen in the future. But what it will do is it'll tell you, if you watch, it'll tell you what sectors are moving up and have been moving up. Right. And that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for the moving sectors. Doesn't have to be the top one or two sectors. It can be the 10th or 12th sector. As long as it moved from 3 weeks ago, the 18th sector, to 2 weeks ago, the 15th sector, to last week, it's the 10th sector, to this week, it's the 6th sector. You know that all the stocks in that sector have been moving up.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Jim, I appreciate the call, and thank you for that. I think the sector question was very, very good, and I think everybody should be paying attention to the sectors they're in.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Here's an investing term you should know. What is a moving average? A moving average is a widely used indicator in technical analysis. Technical analysis means we're looking at a chart, the movement of the stock price. And a moving average helps smooth out the price action by filtering out all the noise from the random price fluctuations day to day to day. It is a trend following or lagging indicator because it is based on the past prices. But you do get an idea of support and resistance in prices and those kinds of things. To do basic commonly used moving averages, the simple moving average and then the exponential moving average. Are you familiar with those? Well, go to investopedia.com. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Here's another dose of reality. No one can successfully time the market. History shows that if there is a dead decline, it's going to bounce back over time. Being in the market yields more so than staying out of it and trying trying to time it in and out. You can't. So I welcome any money questions, everybody. 888-99-CHART.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. I have some quiz questions for you. Okay, this is all about what you should be asking when how smart are you about a financial services and your finances. First question, which of these questions should you ask when interviewing prospective financial advisors? What you should ask if you're interviewing financial advisors. A, when recommending investment, what third-party compensation do you accept? B, what kind of car do you drive? C, how long have you been married? D, can you spell embezzlement? That was pretty easy, right? These are kind of things you need to know, okay? If a person like me, a registered investment advisor, do they accept third-party compensation? In other words, they charge you a fee, and do they get money from somebody else to use their products, like a mutual fund? You got to be really careful, really careful. And true or false? The best place to get a financial advisor is from money experts on a radio show. That'd be false. Even though I'm on a radio show. That should not be the end of the story. Yes, I get clients through my advertiser here on the radio show, but that should be the beginning of your search for a financial advisor. I mean, I share everything, all the information, but many people do not. You have to ask questions. And the person who is responsible for not getting ripped off, who do you think that is? You think it's the state or the federal regulators? It's you. No state, no regulation, no audit seems to ever find the fraudsters till after the people have been abused. Right? After they made off with millions of dollars or, some squandering of millions of dollars. They always find them afterwards. So you need to be careful who you hire up front. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask questions of how long they've been around. Do they buy the same things as they recommend to their clients? To me, that's pretty key, and I do. But you need to find that out. How do they do it? Anyways. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? Let's go ahead and go to another voicemail. Beginner experience questions are always welcome, and it's always the same number, 888-99-CHART. And here's one of those questions. Evan in San Ramon. How you doing, Evan?
I got a good question. I have two kids, 12 and 10. I started putting money for their education.
Okay.
So far, I put in about $22,000. It's hard to gauge as to how much the expenses would be. So on an annual average, what do you think I should be putting in?
Are you putting them in a 529 plan?
Yes, it's a 529 plan by Charles Schwab.
Okay. Is that 529 in California or is it Illinois?
It's Illinois.
Now, people will probably ask me, how did I know that? Well, yes. The reason why I know that is each state sponsors a educational called a 529 plan. Each state has its own. And why did I say Illinois? Because I know Illinois has a very good plan. Therefore, they're selling a lot. California's plan is just okay.
Yeah.
If you live in California, you can buy any state plan you want. You don't necessarily. It's not money that has to be spent in Illinois. You can spend it anywhere in the United States, but it is for college education.
That's true, yeah.
College. Okay. Next question, Evan, you have to ask is your child, are they going to go to Berkeley or Harvard? Are they going to go to a regular college, you know, like a USC or UCLA?
One of those Cal colleges, either USC, UCLA, or Stanford, Berkeley. One of those things.
Okay, so, okay, yeah. Good. Because, you know, the expenses on the various colleges dramatically change.
Yeah.
Remember, you don't have to come up with all the money for the education. They can get college student loans for some of it. So you're just helping them. You don't have to, you know, if you make a ton of money and you want to, you can. Yeah. But you don't have to have all the money for their education. Just think of this way. It's going to cost about $20,000 to $30,000 a year for college.
Okay.
From that number back, and they're 8 to 10 years old?
That's right. 10 and 12. So.
Okay, 10 and 12. Yeah. Figure then, you know how many years you have. You have 6 to 8 years each.
Yeah.
Okay, and your money will make about 6 to 10% a year. So if you were real generous, you can add 10% to 22,000 compounded.
Okay. So
those are the kinds of numbers you play with.
Okay.
And that means you're going to have, you know, if you're going to have all of it, you've got a lot of work to do. I wouldn't suggest you have to have all of it. You don't. I know my wife's parents pay for the first year, and then you're on your own for the rest of the year. Some pay for the school, but not the room and board, so they had to borrow the student loan. Student loans are so easy to get, Alvin, that you won't have any problem.
That's right. It's been about 3 years since I started, and then I'm adding about anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000 a year for each account. So,
I think that's very, very good. For the average working guy, that's a very good number.
All right. That's good. Thank you.
Thanks, Alvin. Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
888-99-CHART. So the jobs report came out. Oh, we got to take a break again. So what's coming up on the next Mess Talk, everybody? Maybe what you need to know is a financial detox. That will be one of the topics on our Monday show. Maybe what you need to know is a financial detox. We're here to answer your questions on any money topic. Call me at 888-99-CHART.
Every bit of advice you are willing to share, I very much appreciate.
InvestTalk is here to help.
I really enjoy this show.
And we thank you for listening.
I'm sorry that I can't hear it every day.
We'll continue with InvestTalk next. But first a question. Do good drivers usually pay less for car insurance? Of course they do. So shouldn't the same thing apply to life insurance? Well, that's the whole idea behind Health IQ. Health IQ can save customers up to a third on life insurance, up to 33%. Well, here are the facts. Physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes. So here's another reward for staying fit, lower insurance rates. InvestTalk is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/invest to see if you qualify. That's healthiq.com/invest. Or mention the promo code INVEST so they'll know you're an InvestTalk listener when you talk with a Health IQ agent. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Shilpa from Riverside. I had a question for you. I was wondering if you were trying to make the max contribution per year, which is $18,500, if you yourself planned it out in your portfolio to make that contribution in that year, however, with your employer's match, the total ends up being, let's just say, $19,500 due to the match amount. Is that over-contributing? Because it's not particularly a contribution you made. It's a contribution the employer made as a match. I'm just looking to max out as much as I can in my retirement. I am 31 years old, so I am looking to do that and put in my full amount that I can this year, and I have currently planned it to make just put in $18,500. However, with my employer contribution match, it would put it above, and I don't want to over-contribute. So anything you can tell me to help would be appreciated. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day. Bye.
Okay, that's a good question. As usual, these kinds of questions, I always tell you to talk to your accountant first. And the reason I do that is because this is not my area of expertise. I may know a lot of things about in that area, but it's not my area of expertise. And they change the laws quite often. And that's not my job to keep up with those changes, even though I learn about them. But no, you are allowed to put $18,500 up to 50 years old, and then you're allowed to, I think it's $24,500 after, another $6,000 after age 50. And your employer can match it or not match it. It's up to him. And no, it's not, it's not over, too much in your account. You can do it. There are limits there's some specialty limits from the employer side about compensation for high earners in your company versus low earners. But I don't know what those rules are, to be honest. But I don't think it applies to this situation. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So we had 313,000 new jobs produced in February. That was about 100,000 more than expectations. And I'm kind of curious of why the experts were so off. And there was 50,000 job increases from the 2 months before. So they were off then too. Not as much, but they're off. What was interesting is, 313,000 and then another 50,000, and this did not change the unemployment rate one-tenth. It stayed exactly the same at 4.1%. And salaries were down a little bit. Don't you find that interesting? I mean, the job market's getting tight. You would think salaries would be moving up. And that is exactly what the Federal Reserve is looking for, by the way. It's worried about rising inflation. We all know that. And we're talking about wage inflation also. But we're not seeing it in wage inflation, not yet. They're seeing increases year over year. I mean, there's been increases, but not this report. Remember the ADP report, which is the private sector jobs? They said there was 235,000 earlier on the week. 235,000. So, 313,000 is very good. New jobs, total. It's a very good. And it is, you wouldn't think that, that means that, we're going to have wage inflation, but that's not. But the Federal Reserve this month is definitely going to be raising interest rates. Now, the speculation was three or four times this year. Many of us think it's going to be three times. And without wage inflation, it's probably going to be three times. It's hard to see them doing it four times. And they may not even do it three times with what Europe, ECB is doing and the Bank of Japan are doing. We're going to get to what the Bank of Japan did. Remember the ECB said earlier this week, We're still going to keep our QE in place. We're buying bonds. They only changed the wording a little bit, saying they're not going to be they were just saying that they're not going to increase it or keep it going. Just a little bit of change to make you think that maybe they're not going to be so accommodating. But they did not cut their bond buying program. Didn't cut the QE program they have going. Nothing. Not one iota. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Cliff in La Mesa. How you doing, Cliff?
Hey, good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you calling.
Could you answer a question on dividends for me? On the X day, which is like, two or three weeks before they actually pay the dividend?
Yes.
If you own the stock on the X day, say you own it the day before, and the day after that day you sell it, would you still get the dividend?
Yes. Long as you own the stock on the X dividend date, and that's the date they announce, all people who own the stock today will get a 15-cent dividend when we pay it a few weeks from now. So that's the day you need to own it. You can sell it the very next day, not a problem. And you might be even able to sell it that day, but I wouldn't take that chance.
That sounds good.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. So everybody, whenever you hear, well, the ex-dividend day, and they call it ex-dividend day, ex-dividend day. That's the day you have to own the stock to get the announced dividend they're going to announce on that day. Now, mind you, the stock goes down the exact amount of the dividend they're going to pay. If the dividend's going to be 50 cents, the stock price that day will go down 50 cents. Now, it might be disguised because trading volume, you know, trading up and down, might not see it, but it actually does go down the exact amount of the dividend announced on that ex-dividend date. Another benefit of joining our InvestTalk Insiders is that you have the key to a whole library of recorded webinars. It's free. You can become one of our InvestTalk Insiders. There's a recent webinar, by the way, Global Investing, and it's ready to play anytime you want to listen to it. There are 11 of them, by the way. To become an InvestTalk Insider, just go to investtalk.com. And again, it's free.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it. At 888-99-CHART, now's the best time.
Let's go to Paul in San Francisco. How you doing, Paul?
I'm great, Steve. My question, I'm approaching the second half of my 40s.
Okay.
And I work for a private company with a 401k. So, you know, realizing that I need to kind of get off my duff and really start getting serious about my 401k and investing, I'm dumping a lot of money into it, you know, 20% of my paycheck.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a financial manager. I do other work, you know, and I think I know what I'm investing in. My question, I guess, is should I seek out a financial advisor to kind of look over what my options are in my 401k and say, you know, hey, this is good, this is not good?
The answer is yes, and that financial advisor would be me and Justin.
Okay.
And we'll do it for free, Paul. Free.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do it for a lot of the 401k. If you'll send me an email telling me what choices you have in your mutual funds, I'm assuming you have a limited number of choices, right?
Right.
Okay, tell me what choices you have and what you invested and how much in each of those right now. You're usually going to attach a statement to an email to me.
Right.
And then I will respond telling you what you should do. And if you do that every 3 months or so, we will help you adjust it based on what's going on in the economy.
Outstanding.
That will help you a lot. And just so you know that I do this for free for everybody, but I do have an alternative motive. Maybe you're going to quit that company and go to another company 10 years from now, and then you can roll that into an IRA and you want me to manage it because I've been helping you for 10 years.
Right.
See,
gotcha.
So I don't want you to think I'm just a nice guy. I am a nice guy, but that's not, I do have a motive down there. I don't want someone, Paul, to call me up and say, you're really doing this for your own reasons. Well, I want to help people, but yeah, I have my own reasons too.
Yeah, we're in business for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds
thanks,
great,
Paul.
Steve.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, Bank of Japan met. Okay, just like our Federal Reserve, just like the ECB. And they are not scaling back their QE program, not one little bit. Not one little bit. And a vote 8-1. You know, we have 12 on our Federal Reserve, 12 districts. They voted 8-1 to leave everything alone, keeping yields near zero. Now remember, the entire world economy is starting to grow pretty good, including Japan, including the ECB, England, South America, not so great, but still growing. You know. And there is absolutely no reason why they should continue this QE, quantitative easing. Remember, quantitative easing is just trying to flood money into the system to try to get it to grow. And you would say, well, that sounds like a good idea. Put money in the system. The problem is it distorts everything. And just because you give somebody a lot of money doesn't mean that they go on and then build a factory. Many of them, you give them money and they go speculate with it, maybe on the stock market, which doesn't help the economy overall. Doesn't produce jobs that you're looking for. So it seems to me both Bank of Japan and the ECB are on the wrong side of the interest rate movement here. And the Federal Reserve, I think, is raising too slow. I'm not trying to destroy the economy, I think we should destroy the economy or the stock market. All I'm saying is we need to get to normalization, normal rates. When we get to normal rates and the economy starts working normally, then the Federal Reserve has ammunition, and so does Bank of Japan and ECB, has ammunition to fight the next recession. There's going to be one. But if you have rates at zero, and you already have this huge quantitative easing program, what are you going to do now? Push it. How much below zero do you think it's going to work? How much debt should you put on the balance sheet of your central bank before it starts having a detrimental effect? You just can't ignore economic reality. You got to make the free economic system work. And that is to stop being so involved in it. Let's go to Fahim in San Jose. How you doing, Fahim?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for your show. I love it, especially this interactive format that you have. Absolutely love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is, it's a basic question about ETFs. Now, ETFs have an expense ratio. Is this expense ratio something that is baked into the price of an ETF when I buy it? Or do I pay it like rent while I hold an ETF over a period of 1 to 2 years?
That's a very good question. Appreciate the question, Fahim. That's very good. An ETF, exchange-traded fund, everybody, and they become very, very popular. They're not free, okay? And I'm not talking about the trading costs. I'm talking about the ETF, the managing of that ETF. That is what we call an expense ratio that Fahim pointed out. And he's asking, and a very good question, is, well, how does the expense ratio get paid? How does the ETF get paid? They do how they do it, Fahim, is that every quarter, what happens is one day you'll see the ETF selling for $20.10. The next day the opening might be $20.05. They just put a nickel in their pocket. Okay, you don't really, you can look up and they'll tell you how much they're charging and how they're charging and exactly how it's happening. But that's in the real world, how it is, you see it, is it just the ETF value goes down, they take that nickel out, put it in their pocket every quarter. And that's based on their expense ratio, how much they're charging. So you don't pay anything out of your pocket, they just take it out of your pocket when you own the ETF.
Thank you for that. I have always wondered that. I always thought it was...
Yeah, I did too. Sometime ago, Fahim, I wondered it too. So I do appreciate the question. It's a good one. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And by the way, you do have to look at the perspective to know how, because different ETFs probably do it differently. But that's the overall rule, that I've read numerous of them, and that's how they did it. So they take the money from the value of the ETF. Mutual funds do the same thing. Same kind of thing. 888-99-CHART. Okay, new way to combat fraud. Credit card fraud. Have you read this or heard about this? Okay, Capital One put it out. Okay, Capital One credit cards, right? They produce credit cards, right? So what happens is, if you have a credit card with Capital One, and you want to buy something on the internet, okay, and by the way, it's online purchasing items. You can call them up, a special number that they have, and they will give you what's called a virtual number. A virtual number, credit card number, a virtual credit card number that you use to buy the item, whatever it is you want. And it's a one-time only. Once you use that number, it's gone. No one else can use it. So you have a credit card with Capital One. They have a system where you can do it online or call them up, get a virtual number, just a credit card number, just to make the payment of something that you're buying. Now, I don't know all the details about, but this is an effort to reduce fraud, and it's a pretty good method, I would think. Now, depending on how much shopping you do online, how many virtual numbers you're going to use, but eventually, all that eventually gets that virtual number. All it is then attach it to your normal credit card bill. Cool, huh? You're not using your credit card number. You're using a special number they're assigning to you. I think that's a pretty neat, pretty good idea. We're down to our last 10 minutes, everybody. If you have questions, this is the time to get them in. You know, we've talked about many things. I will talk about many more things. But you are the most important. 888-99-CHART. What questions do you have on this Friday afternoon? Join us in on the last 10 minutes. This is Invest Talk.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to go to Mike in San Diego. How are you doing, Mike?
Oh, great. I appreciate your program. Thank you very much. We just need a little bit of education here. Maybe you can help us. What is the purpose of rising or, you know, lowering the interest rate?
This is what happens. When the Fed Reserve or banks lower their interest rates, it makes it more attractive for companies and individuals to borrow that money. When they borrow money, that money gets used and put into the economic system. It starts to flow through the system. That produces activity, build more factories, expand existing manufacturing systems, or improve the systems that you have, make yourself more effective and more cost efficient.
But now, why would the federal government would raise the interest rate, though? Wouldn't that slow down the economy, though?
Yes. The purpose in raising interest rate, the only purpose is to slow down the economy, by the way.
Okay.
Now, you also say, well, why would they want to do that? Well, the Federal Reserve has two mandates. One is to keep the economy going at a consistent pace without any really high spikes. They're supposed to be consistent and making the economy grow at its consistent level. That's job number one. Job number two is to keep control of inflation. Now, those two jobs are sometimes mutually exclusive. In other words, how do I control inflation? How do I control that? Well, if I slow down the economy, if I slow it down and the jobs are not so plentiful and corporations are having trouble raising prices because they're not getting as much business as they used to, then I'm going to kill inflation. If the economy gets too heated, the businesses will start raising prices and employees will start demanding more money because corporations make more and more money. And you start a cycle of inflation. So they have this mandate that says, okay, I got to kill inflation, therefore I got to raise rates. I got to keep the economy going, therefore I got to lower rates.
Wonderful. That clears everything up. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
I listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for listening. Now let's go to Min in San Diego. Hi, Min. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, Steve. How can one person buy a natural gas index?
The easiest way is through an ETF, the UNG ETF. That's the symbol. It's called United States Natural Gas Fund. It's an exchange-traded fund corresponding to the change in price of the natural gas delivered at the Henry Hub in Louisiana. So it goes down if natural gas prices go down. It goes up if natural gas prices go up.
Now, Steve, when you guys track natural gas, does that mean they track natural gas exactly wherever natural gas move?
Yes, the CRB are supposed to be tracking the index. The UNG is supposed to be tracking the price, not the index.
Right.
You know the difference, right? It's not the index. It's the price of the gas at the Henry Hub station. So what's the price? It's supposed to follow the price. So that's a difference. The index, it might be a group of natural gas companies. Supply, ship, that's what the index would do. Where this UNG is trying to just track the price. Man,
okay.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay, on everybody's mind and in the news is all about the tariffs, the steel tariffs and the aluminum tariffs that President Trump has been saying he's going to announce, and everybody's up in the arms, and everybody's still worried, oh, trade war. And if you've been listening, I told you you must do about nothing. We're way too worried about it. Are we going to have tariffs? Probably. You got to remember, and I'll stress this again, we are the world's largest customer, right? We're the customer. And being the customer, we have a lot of say about things. People want to sell us stuff. We have a lot of say. who's going to win, even if we did have a trade war, which I know we're not going to have, but even if we did, who would win? We would. So I don't think we need to worry about it. Already you hear him talking about carving out Canada and carving out Mexico, but, you know, through the back channels, I guarantee you he's using this to get a NAFTA deal put to bed. Remember, he's a negotiator. Have you read any of his books? Well, I'm not saying he's not a flawed person, because he is flawed. My personal opinion, he's flawed. But yeah, I don't want to get political on here. I just want to talk about how it affects us as investors and the economy, because the economy affects us as investors. And I think the economy is not going to slow down from this. It's not going to really cause any problems. There's going to be certain industries that are going to whine. That's all true. That's all true. But don't they always? Think about any time a president does anything, and any president, somebody's going to whine, and someone's going to not benefit, someone's going to benefit. That's how you as an investor have to look at it. Time to wrap it up, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I want to thank you for making this part of your daily program, daily activity. And let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.